mercy of God. So glad for the grace of God. So glad for the peace of God. So glad for what we've heard already this morning. You'll be hearing a little bit more of it even today. Well, I guess where the Lord would have us to go. Turn your Bible to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Those of you here that were here Wednesday night get to hear it again for probably a little bit more. Amen. We feel like this is where the Lord would have us to go again. We just ain't been able to get away from it. I'm like Brother Perry. If you don't like it, blame Brother Ian. He's one that said need to preach it again. Amen. I have done it before, not many times that I've done it before, but the Lord says here we need to go back. That's where we're going to go back again. And of course, you'll be hearing probably more than what you heard Wednesday night, but I appreciate, I ain't been able to get away from, appreciate what the Lord has done and can do. And I'm glad for the Word of God, the grace of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's already been quoted this morning. You'll hear it quoted again. And what a vital, important part of our life that it plays each and every day as a child of God. Book of Philippians, chapter 1, we'll read through 11 verses and bring to you the thought that the Lord will have to bring to you this morning. The Word of God says in Philippians, chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident that this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, and as much both in my bonds, and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Father, we come to you right now. We ask that you reach down, God, do what needs to be done. God, upon this meeting, upon this service, God, open up the hearts of those that are here today to be able to receive, God, what they need to hear this morning, God. Lord, that they may leave here encouraged, God, to be about your business. God, to do those things, God, that you desire of each and every one of us, that we might bring honor and glory and praise upon your precious and holy name. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for what you've done, what you're about to do. God, may you touch our throat, touch our cough just for a little while. God, we may be able to do what you'd have us to do. Father, this we ask in our name, we pray. Amen. And amen. You find out, as we may mention last Wednesday night, that Paul was writing to the church at Philippi. Amen. While he was doing this writing, you'll find out, if you listen to that, that he was in prison at the time. But during those prison days, or I don't know how long they spent in prison, but I'm so glad that Paul was one not to sit in idleness, amen, not to do that God wanted him to do. But even in the times of affliction, even in times of hardship, even in times while he was in prison, Paul took advantage of those opportunities, amen, to do what the Lord would have him to do, to encourage others that the Lord had entrusted into his care. Amen. You'll do something. You'll find out that Paul, amen, began the work here at Philippi during his second missionary journey, as him and some of his soldiers were going there. Brother Andy, God allowed Paul to began to do the work there, and began to preach, and began to start a church there. And note that he had seen, had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through his ministry and through his preaching and through the word that God had given him there in Philippi. Amen, became a special relationship. And can I say, as I may mention last Wednesday night, it is God's desire that we have relationships here in this life. Amen, I hear folks say, well, I believe God wants me to just stay at home and worship God at the home. That's well and done. If God See, that tells you that, but I sort of have a strange inkling according to the Word of God, that's not going to happen. I believe the Bible tells us that we are to assemble ourselves together. I believe the Bible instituted the church of the ecclesia, which is the called out body of those that God has called out for a purpose and for a reason. She said, preacher, what is that? Amen. To share the Word of God and the work of God each and every day that we live. It is God's desire for you as a child of God to assemble with other believers. Amen. To be able to have those relationships. And can I say the devil's trying to tell you, well, you can worship God. You can serve God by yourself at the house. And can, let me say this. We can't worship God at the house. There's no doubt about that we can. But that is not God's desire. God's desire is not that you just stay in your little house. Amen. Worship God. Amen. In your life, not influence nobody around you. That is not God's desire. God does a work in your life that you may have a relationship with other folks, that you may influence their lives, that you may influence their hearts. I've said it before. Who in the world are you going to influence at your house? The rats and the mice, amen, all the bugs around, they don't need influencing. But God uses us, amen, to be able to influence those around us. That's why God wants us to assemble with other believers to encourage them and to help them. Amen. And to lighten them and to allow what God is doing in your life to help others that they may help others. That is what it's all about. It is helping others. It is sharing the Word of God. It is sharing the love of God day by day. We can't do that sitting at the house. It takes that going to the house of God. Going and being with other believers and fellowship and having a relationship with them to encourage them in their journey and their walk. And that's what Paul emphasized in here. He begins to do the work. You look and you listen and you'll find out here. We get on a little bit later on that God allowed Paul to do the work here at Philippi. And you look at the elder, and I believe it is, in the book of Acts chapter number 16. You'll find out that was when God allowed Paul to go there. Hey, everybody know the story how that Paul had a vision by night and how that God put it in his heart to go to Philippi and do the work. He said, I just took by that vision that God had a work for me to do at Philippi. And as soon as he got there, Brother Perry, thank God he found some women there. Hey, man, I was meeting on the creek bank looking into the Word of God. I'm so glad that God led him right to where he needed to go. The Bible said there was a certain woman out there by the name of Lydia, a sailor purple. The Bible said it was a woman that God opened up her heart to receive the Word of God. God preached the Word of God to her. Hey, man, because God had opened up her heart. It is my prayer. It is my desire for everyone sitting in this place this morning that God has opened up your heart. If man receive what God wants to give you today. God didn't bring you here. Amen. Just to hear a sermonette and go to the house. But God sent you here today to hear the precious Word of God, to open up your heart, to receive what He wants to do for you, so that you might leave this place. Amen. Go out there in the mission field. Go out there on the battlefield and do the work that God has called us to do. It was there. Hey, man. Now that's alone. When God done the work, would open up the heart of Lydia to receive the Word of God. Hey, man, the Bible said God allowed Lydia to even came to the pole with such a change took a place in her life. Listen, hey, man, if y'all need a place to stay while you're here, you stay at my house. Oh, thank God. God done a work in her heart. Hey, man, not long after that, the Bible said there was a woman, a young lady, a damsel, that had a spirit of divination. Hey, man, kept crying. Had kept falling upon them and said, these are men of God. Everywhere they went, these are men of God. Hey, man, Paul finally looked to her. Hey, man, cast out that old spirit of divination. And upon those that were getting gained by that she was doing. Hey, man, they done got them so mad that they came against Paul and Timothy, amen, and had brought before the council. Oh, but when he was thrown in jail, thank God there was a Philippian jailer there. Yep. Amen, that God was such going to do a work through. Thank God he was that Philippian jailer. Heard old Paul and Silas. I began to sing, began to praise the Lord. Had a prayer meeting about the men out of he was that Philippian jailer. Hey man, it would have took his own life. But Paul said, do yourself no harm, for we're all here. He was that Philippian jailer. Hey man, that God fell down before Paul, Silas, and sirs, what must I do to be saved? Brother Dwayne, with that same Philippian jailer, hey man, that God brought salvation to him and his whole household that night. It was that work at Philippi that God started right then. The Bible said that Paul found himself in prison. Oh, and that church there in Philippi began to work in a way that God, and I want to preach maybe upon that Paul, the working of the body of Christ, or the working of the church. You'll look at the church at Philippi, you'll find it was a church full of joy. It was a church that was on fire for God. It was a church that was really working for God. Hey, man, they took what God had entrusted them, the work that God had started. Hey, man, through the word, the preaching of Paul, God began to continue to minister. Hey, man, that word, began to continue that word to the point where they began to share the word of God and do what the word or the body of Christ should do. Find out, you do study, you'll find out there was a church at Philippi. And even on other missionary journeys, when Paul was in prison, to send what needed to send the need that Paul needed, hey man, to help him during those things, his incarceration, it was a church at Philippi that sent those things that he needed through one by the name of Epaphroditus. And it was this name of Epaphroditus that Paul was fixed to send this letter back to the church of Philippi and encourage them and to let them know the love that Paul had for them, because they were walking in the will of God, that they were a church that was doing what God had instituted for the body of Christ, that they were a church. Hey man, it was influenced. Hey man, the area of the Macedonia, the folks there in Philippi. And I say it is our responsibility. It is our duty as a child of God, as a body of Christ, at Pathway Baptist Church. Hey man, to influence those that we come in contact with day by day. It is God's desire that we influence lives, that we as a body of Christ, that we as individuals, hey man, share the love of God and the work of God that He's doing in our lives, hey man, to help those around us. But I want to look at a few quick things, right quick like, amen. More I began to study this morning, amen, I could probably preach this in about 5 different services, but we're going to try to bring it all down to one. Hey man, we see here the Bible sent Paul and Timothy as a servant of Jesus Christ to all the saints which are in Christ. Now I want you to notice what he said. Paul's writing this to the church of Philippi. He's saying this to all the saints, or those that have truly been saved by the grace of God, those that are in Christ Jesus. That word in Christ Jesus simply means and knows what it means to be in Christ Jesus through the work of salvation. Those that have truly been born again by the grace of God. Then he said this, verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't you look, we see here in this verse 2, it's the truth that enabled this church to do the work that they were doing. It was the truth that Paul was proclaiming here. He said, it's my prayer that the grace and peace of God, that you be full of the grace that be in you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say, as I said this past Wednesday night, because I say it is grace that enables us to do what need to be done in our life. Brother Perry made it mention already this morning, honey, it ain't nothing that we can do within our own self, within their own power, within our own intellect. They can do anything that would bring honor and praise to the name of Christ. But it is the grace of God that enables us to be who we are. You say, preacher, what about grace? How the Bible tells us it is the grace of God, the source of grace. Amen. Grace comes from God and Him alone. How the Bible says this in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Ezra chapter 9 and verse number 8. Amen. As the children of Israel failed, had disobeyed God and been brought into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. But God, in His grace and mercy, amen, found a little time, amen, to be able to send the captives back to the land of Israel, back to Jerusalem, and start to reveal the work that God had started there. The Bible said in Ezra chapter 9, verse number 8, and now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a raiment, amen, and to escape and to give us a nail in His holy place. I'm glad it is the grace of God. God is the source of that grace that enables us to walk the Christian life, that enables us to be who we are for the glory of God. Brother Dwayne, I can't do it within my own self, but it is the grace of God, amen, that does what we cannot do. Scripture says this in the book of John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the source of grace. Not only is He the source of grace, but it is by grace that we are saved. The Bible said, for amen, I believe in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you are saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of good works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse number 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I'm glad not only is God the source of grace, but I'm glad it's through grace that salvation came to be. Thank God you didn't get saved by works. You didn't get saved by your good looks. You didn't get saved because your daddy's a preacher. You didn't get saved because your mama or your daddy was a great saint of God. You got saved because of the grace of God. Amen. That showed His love and His mercy to you because of the grace of God that brought salvation to mankind. It is through Him. It is through that grace that salvation came to mankind. Not only see the source of salvation of grace, but also we see 2 Timothy 2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. We find strength in that grace. Paul was talking to young Timothy there. He said, Timothy, he was trying to encourage him for the ministry that God had called young Timothy into. He said, thou therefore, my son, you be strong in the grace. Amen. Paul understood, amen, what Timothy was going to face as a man of God. He knew the obstacles. He knew the opposition. And can I say, as I said Wednesday night already, amen, God knows that we are going to go through hardships. God knows that we are going to go through afflictions. And can I say it is the grace of God that has strengthened us day by day in the midst of our adversities, in the midst of our hardships. It is the grace of God that empowers us from above. Amen. To do what this old flesh has set down. Give up. What's the use? I'm so glad it is the grace of God. Amen, brother. Hey, that comes on the scene. Says, keep on a preaching, son. Keep on a singing. Keep on a living. My grace is sufficient. It is, brother Randy. You're looking at the life of Paul. That same grace, amen, that allowed Paul in the midst of all his imprisonments, in the midst of all his beatings, in the midst of all his shipwrecks, he said, in the midst of it all, amen, God was able. God delivered me. I'm glad it was the grace of God that strengthens us. Amen, it is the grace that comes from God. It is the grace that saved me. But thank God, it is also the grace that, thank God, allows me. Amen, it teaches me day by day what I need to see. The Bible said, for the grace of God bringeth salvation, amen, and has appeared to all men, teaching us, amen, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, it is the grace of God that also teaches us, amen, the life that we need to live. You've heard me make this statement many times. We've got a lot of folks, amen, as bad as we have a bad names, that we're you baddest, all you believe is in the grace of God. Amen, I do. I'm going to lay claim to the grace of God, Now I'm going to keep preaching the grace of God, but I'm going to preach the grace of God in context with what grace is in the Word of God. Grace is not something we can use as a crutch. Hey man, to prop up. Hey man, our disobedience. Hey man, say, well, I know I'm just a sinner and I'm going to sin, but I just, hey man, get God on. That's not what grace is. Grace is not a crutch for us to lean on. Grace is something that teaches us, that we understand the trueness of grace. Brother Randy, it'll teach us to walk in holiness. It'll teach us to deny ungodly loves and worldly things and walk in a way to bring God upon the name of God. If we truly and say to the grace of God, there'll be a desire deep down within us that encourage us to walk in a holy lifestyle. That's what grace does. Paul saying, grace be unto you. He was telling the church, he said, I understand it's the grace of God. Hey, man, enables you to do what you're doing right now. It is the grace of God that enables you to live the life and be that example that you're being. It is that grace. Not only that grace, but it is that peace the Lord be unto you. That peace that passeth all understanding. He said, I don't give peace that the world gives to you, but he said, I give peace. It's my peace. It is that peace that passeth all understanding. It is that peace of God. The peace, amen, that comes from Him and Him alone. It is that peace. Amen. I made a statement this past Wednesday night. One commentary says, grace is sort of like a transformer. Amen. It transformed us from, what we used to be to what God wants us to be. Amen. Peace is like a tranquilizer. In the midst of our persecution, in the midst of our hard times, in the midst of chaos of life, in the chaos of this world coming against us. It is the peace of God. Amen. It comes on and tranquilizes us. Or just that it calms us down. Enables us to walk with a sound mind in the way, Brother Joe, that we bring honor upon the name of God. Take a tranquilizer. Hey, man, you take an old horse or take an animal. Seems like out of control. And boy, it seems like, boy, when they try to catch an animal or something, try to give it help, and amen, that animal don't know, amen, it's trying to get help, and it's running, doing everything it can to get away, and they'll take them tranquilizers, and they'll shoot at that animal and calm him down. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been at that time, seemed like everything was getting out of control? Oh, it seemed like both chaos. Man, your mind was running everywhere, and your flesh was telling you, well, you need to do this, you need to do that, or maybe somebody coming against you, hey, man, giving you a hard time for something wasn't even your fault. Hey, man, your flesh said, well, you just need to get right back in their face. Give it right back to them. Oh, but then all of a sudden, God shoot that tranquilizer peace into your heart and soul. Say, wait a minute, son, just calm down a minute. Oh, my grace is sufficient. I'm glad sometimes it is that peace of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God that comes on the scene. Amen. When this old flesh began to rise, when this old flesh began to get out of control, it is the peace of God, brother, peace that comes on the scene. Amen. And bring me down to where God wants me to be, that I can make a decision according to the will of God and not this flesh. It is that tranquilizer. It is that God brings into our life. It is a peace of God. I can't understand it. I can't explain it. But I know it's real. Oh, why? Because I've experienced it. And if you truly have been saved by the grace of God, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. It is that peace of God that can do what nothing else can. But you see, talk about in verse 1. It is that truth that enables. Then I want you to look, second of all, grace be, and I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making a request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now. Amen. We see the truth that enables. We see also the second thing. We see, thank God, in the second verse there, it is that thanksgiving that encourages us. Paul said, I'm thankful for what God has done in your life. I'm thankful every time. Amen. And I began to remember you. Why could he say that, Brother Perry? Oh, you always tell you why. Thank God, I believe, amen, every time he thought about Philippi, he thought about that little old meeting of women there on that creek side. Amen, where God allowed him to share the Word of God. I believe he remembered that woman by the name of Lydia. How she bowed her head. How she'd opened up her heart. God had opened up her heart to see the Word of God. I believe it was that same memory of that little dear lady getting on her knees, crying out to God. It was that dear little lady. Amen, and God touched in such a way. Amen, that helped him, provide a place for them. It was that woman, amen, that had that evil spirit, that God, through the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost of God, through the preaching of Paul, allowed that demon to be cast out of this woman, and that she might receive the gift of God. It was those remembrances of what God had done there in that church, what God was continuing to do. You see, as a child of God, as a pastor, boy, I can look back in my ministry, Brother Ed, I can look at times when God had done some great works. Amen. Not through nothing I could do with myself, but because I chose to give myself to God and be obedient to the call and will of God. I've seen some things, Brother Brian, Brother Mike, that God has done through a ministry that, boy, I know it was God, and how lives have been touched, and amen, God has done a work in some folks' lives, and I still, every time I think about it, I rejoice, and that's what Paul was doing. Folks, can I tell you today, oh, that's why it's so important how to allow ourselves to be used in the way that God wants us to be used, because it is the influences, amen, that God allows you to be in somebody's life, how that might lead them to Christ, that you will always carry in your memory, that you will always be able to go back and say, Lord, thank you that you allowed me to be where I was at, to be able to have old brother so-and-so, old sister so-and-so. God, thank you for those opportunities that God gives us. Honey, we can't have those opportunities if we don't seek, amen, to have a relationship with individuals, amen, to show them the love of God. A lot of folks say, preacher, I don't like to deal with people. People are mean. They are. I ain't going to lie to you. Can I say this? If we don't show them the love of God, they'll continue on being mean. But yeah, if we can show them a better way, we can show them the love of God. Amen. God can reach down through His Holy Ghost of God, get right down to the depths of their heart. Amen. Right to the root of their meanness. Amen. And do something in their life that nobody else can. That meanness will go. The love of God will take its place. And then we can look back and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. That you allowed me to be that instrument. Amen. To help somebody see you. To come out from that meanness and receive the love of God. What a privilege. What a privilege. I'm reminded, hey man, I've heard it in testimony time and time again. Folks up here in this church, folks, I remember working down at Old Maples, and there's no fella down there, but hey man, got to talk to me about Jesus. Yeah, man, those memories, Brother Perry, you'll never get away from. Those memories, amen, Brother Taylor, never get away from. Brother Perry, Brother Samuels, no, those memories that God allowed you to be a witness that will never leave you, that you can have to gain strength from, how to encourage you, amen, to keep on doing it, how to keep on influencing folks, how to keep on helping folks. It's those relationships that God allows us to have upon this earth, that He has used you, and used us to influence somebody, and to see the love of God, that God can change them. Life. What a blessing. Paul said, I thank God. That's why I could thank God. Why? Because of those relationships that God allowed Paul, amen, to have. Amen, that he could, they continued with him throughout his life, that he could look back on and be thankful for each and every day. He said, I'm thankful. And I call to remembrance, amen, what God done. He said, I call to remembrance not only, amen, the work of God, but he said, the remembrance of the work of God. But also he says this. He said in verse 4, and for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Amen. He was thankful for the fact, amen, they encouraged him, and they thank him for the fact of what God had done for the folks down in Philippi in changing their hearts through the wonderful plan of salvation. But then
He not only said that, but he said, I'm thankful for your fellowship in the gospel. Or in other words, I'm thankful for the relationship that you have in the work of God. That work that you're still doing. That work that you're still carrying on. Hey man, that work. Hey man, God is still... Can I say today, God didn't save you to set you on the sea to do nothing. God saved you to be a witness. God saved you to do a work. God saved you to continue to share the Word of God and be a light to those around you. It is our responsibility to be about the Father's business. That to present ourselves, our bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. That's what God desires of us. Each and every day. You see, it was those thanksgiving, those thoughts, hey man, those relationships Paul, hey man, was thankful for. He said, I'm thankful for what God has done in your life, but I'm also thankful for what God's doing in your life. Then like what he said in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing. Not only we see, hey man, that thanksgiving, but he see the trust that ensures. Paul said, I'm confident in this one thing. Now like this. Y'all bear with me. Bible said this. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus. Y'all get a hold of that. Oh, somebody. Paul said, listen, I know, I'm thankful for what's going on. I'm thankful for what God did in your life. Hey, why couldn't he be thankful? Because he was confident in the fact that the one that started that work, thank God, will continue to do the work in their lives if it would only let him. Can I tell you today what God done in you when he saved your soul is the same God that enabled you and helped you to keep doing in your life what he started. You see, I serve a God that's incapable of failing. I serve a God that cannot fail. That's part of His attribute, His holiness. He cannot fail. Amen. What He started in you, honey, can I say He will continue to do it if you'll let Him. The problem is, many times we don't let Him. We don't allow Him to do in our lives what He wants to. Preacher, how do you not let Him? By not being obedient to Him. By not following Him. By not being faithful to Him. That's how we not let God continue to do in our life what He wants to do. I'm so glad I can look out over this church. I can see some saints of God. Hey, man, look at one back there. Came this morning, Sister Bernice. Saints of God have been through some hardships, been through some trials. Miss Ellen, Brother Ed, hey, many others in this room have been through hard times, been through the fire. Oh, but yet they've been faithful. Oh, yeah, the word that God started in, He's continuing to do. Thank God, this old flesh said, why don't you quit? Why don't you give up? Hey, man, my mom said, make us another good example. Hey, man, the old affliction that come upon the body because of health problems. I said, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just stop? Hey, man, I seem like you ain't got the health to do it no more. Why don't you quit going to church? But I'm glad, thank God. But that one that started the work of salvation, that one that started the work in their life, he continued to do it. Why? Because they were letting him. Hey, man, can I say today, thank God for those saints of God. Thank God for each and every one of us that we'll let God keep doing what he wants to do in our life. Sure. Like Brother Perry, I falter and I fail. I'm so glad that he don't feel me. Brother Andy, I'm so glad that when I do fall and I do falter, I do fail. I'm glad just like old Peter. Like he told Peter, like Brother Barry made mention this morning, he knew Peter was going to fail. He said, oh, I pray that you fail thee not. Faith fail thee not. But yet, Paul, our Lord knew what was fixing to happen. But he said, but when you are fully converted, when you are converted, you go and strengthen your brethren. Oh, can I say today, Paul knew he was going to fall. Paul knew he was going to fail him. But I'm glad that Paul understood that all he had to do, when he did fall, when he did fall, I look back to that same grace, that same God, amen, to pick him up and allow him to continue doing the work that he started in his life. You look at these old saints of God in our community that have done left this walks of life. You look at the Howard McCauley's. You look at the Theo Venables. You look at Martin Wright, the Granny Justice. You look at these old saints of God that have graced our life and graced this church and graced this community. Oh, you look at some of the hardships, Brother Ed, they've had. But hey, man, that confidence that Paul had. But I'm confident of this one thing. I'm confident that he that begun a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. No wonder anything that said, I'm able. Amen. God is able to continue to do in your life what he wants to do. If you'll just let him, if you'll be faithful, if you'll be obedient, God continue to do the work in your life that he started at the, amen, at an old fashioned altar. And can I say, child of God, he'll continue to do the work in your life. There's one thing we need in our churches, our local bodies today. Sister Bernice, it is those folks that are willing to be faithful, to allow God to continue to do the work that He had begun in your life. Heaven, each and every one that I'm looking to your face this morning, those of you that have been saved by the grace of God, Brother Jeff, God has started a good work in you. Amen. Keep allowing God to do the work in your life that He wants to do. Keep influencing lives that He wants to influence. Amen. Keep sharing the gospel He wants to share. Keep doing, Brother. Amen. Wendell, what God does, just keep on keeping on. Oh, Brother Wendell. Amen. Probably won't mind if I use it for just a minute. Brother Wendell, God done a great work. Took an old drunk. Saved his soul. Probably 50 years ago, close to it, 56, I don't know. Yet, old Brother Wendell has remained faithful. Sickness has come upon him. And not allowed Wendell to continue to do, continue to sing like he used to do. Oh, but yet Wendell continued to be faithful down to that little shop that he's at. God will continue to use this old saint of God in a mighty way. Just by what little way God still used. Why? Because God is still doing the work that He started. You ain't drunk or drunk since that day God saved your soul. Amen. God's still doing the work. God, can I say those others, amen, that have God delivered from addiction. God, that you may be in the process of delivering from addiction. Can I say that God is able to keep on doing what He started in your life? Don't give up. Don't look back. God is able. God will. And God is all powerful. And I'm like Paul. I'm just confident. Just like Paul was. Amen. What He started in you, He ain't going to quit if you'll just let Him. It is that treasure, that ensures us. What treasure, Brother Joe? In the promise, amen, and the attribute that He is all-powerful. That He can and that He will do what He started. Amen. God ain't in the habit of starting something. Let me just stop there for a minute. Can I hold up my hand and say I'm guilty? My wife can say amen to this and probably shout a little bit. I want to worry, we'll start something, quit it. I'll start something, amen, amen. I'll get an idea, well, I'm going to try to do a little work around the house and fix the house up, and amen, as long as I get tired of it, I quit it. Maybe I'll do a little housework, or maybe make up the bed a few mornings, I'll get tired of it, and I'll finally quit it. That's where we are. But I'm glad God ain't like that. What God starts, He will not quit on. What God starts, He will not leave unfinished. What God starts, He will continue to do. That's a treasure. Thank God it assures me, that He's capable of taking care of me in the midst of my trials. He's able to take care of me in the midst of my weak moments. And I feel like just giving up, throwing in the towel, going back to my old habits. I'm glad it is that treasure that lets me know that God is still wanting to do His work in my life. And God can take this old piece of dirt, amen, and do something great and miraculous and wonderful in my life to touch others, amen, that around me, that they too might see this love of God. But then Paul says this, and I'll be done. He said in verse 9, 10, 11, he said this, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment. And that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere without into the day of Christ." Paul, friend, here is my triumph for you. Here is my trophy. Here's the trophy that you can have for your life. Can I say, preacher, what is it? Paul said, my trophy is that you will continue, that your love may continue to abound more and more each and every day in all knowledge and in all of in all judgment and all the decisions that you make. May you be guided by the love of God. Paul, writing to many of the churches, he used this same statement, talking about the love of God, being filled with the love of God. Love is one of the fruits of the Spirit as well as peace. But he said, Paul saying that your love may abound more. Now I like what it said again, and more. If you see the same word mentioned twice in a row, God's putting an emphasis. Did you hear what I said? Paul ain't putting an emphasis. God's putting an emphasis. Yeah. It is God, amen, that spoke to Paul and led him to write word for word what God instructed him to write. It was God that said that your love may be more and more, may abound or grow more and more. You see, one thing that needs to grow in our life as a child of God more and more that enable us to be what God wants us to be is His love. We need to be guided by the love of God. Hey, Brother Perry made mention, Brother Perry, you were right on line. Or God was right on line, let me rephrase that. God was right on line. You see, it is that love that abounds in our lives more and more. The more we grow to love God, the more we'll quit looking at ourselves and what we need and what we think is real and what we think, amen, we need in this life. Amen, more we'll just rely upon the fact God knows what I need and He can take care of me. When we love God, the way that we need to love God. I believe what's the scripture? Hey man, they that love the law, they that love thy law, hey man, shall be our something, so that and nothing shall offend them. It ain't word for word, because I misquoted it. I don't want to misquote it too bad. But that's the thing about what it's saying. If you love the Lord, love God the way He's supposed to, ain't nothing going to offend you. Honey, if I love you and love the Lord the way I'm supposed to, you can come up to me, call me anything you want to me, if you don't want to offend me. This old flesh may rile up, but yet there's a spirit on the inside. I say, sit down, boy. Sit down. Calm down. That ain't where it's supposed to be. You see, the more we learn to love God, the more that we abound in the love of God, the more it will allow us to build to the knowledge of who God is and what God wants for our life, and the more it will allow us to make the decision that we need to make that will be the right decision, not the wrong decision. Because those decisions will be made by love, not by the flesh. Those decisions to be made by love, not by lust. Those decisions to be made by the love that comes from God. Amen. And knows what we need to do in our life, the decisions we need to make. Paul said, that is my trophy. That is my triumph for you. Amen. That you may abound more and more in the love and the knowledge. And then he said this, that ye may approve, or that you may do those things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, that ye may be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory, catch it, unto the glory, catch it, unto the glory and praise of God. What are you saying? What's he saying there? What you're doing because of Him. You're not doing it to pat yourself on the back. Say, look at me, boy, I do good. Huh? That ain't what it's all about. Hey, man, when we're doing the will of God and the work of God, it is to do it that we may bring honor and praise upon the name of God. Paul said, the greatest trophy that I can have is that knowing that you will abound, your love will abound more and more in all knowledge, in all understanding or all the right decisions, the judgments that you made, the decisions you make, and that you may be sincere, that you may be without offense, hey man, until the day, and that you may bring honor and glory and praise upon God. I'm talking about a church, a local body that's working for God. Can I say, Pathway Baptist Church, I'm glad for what God's doing in this church. I'm glad for the folks God sent in this way. I'm glad for what God wanted to do. And I'm going to be honest with you. And I ain't been the only one playing this. I've been praying, Lord, you send the folks here that want to be here. You send the folks here that want to go to work. That's what I've been praying. Guess what? God's been sending some folks in this door. God ain't done. He's going to continue. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Hey, I want to see lost folks get saved. I want to see folks walk this. I want to see folks run this aisle. Now, I want to see them run in the conviction of God. Having the cold, having the faith, they're going to die and go to hell. If you've got lost love and they're lost and on the way to hell, get them in the house of God. Then they can hear the word of God, that God might save them. Why? Remember the time when you were lost? Remember the time when you needed salvation? Ain't you glad that somebody influenced your life? Ain't you glad that somebody died you the house of God? Ain't you glad somebody prayed for you? Ain't you glad somebody encouraged you? Can I say that they need that responsibility as a church? That's what God wants for us as a church. Amen. To share the word of God and bring folks to the place and the realization that God loved them and God can save them. That we might be a church that God can use touch hearts and touch lives. Everybody in this room, we've got loved ones that are lost. We've got kids, grandkids, co-workers, friends, neighbors that are lost, that need to be influenced. Help us to be the one. Throw our hand up in the air and say, Lord, can I be the one? Lord, will you not just use me? Lord, help me to realize that what you started in my life, Lord, you'll continue to do. Help me to simply be faithful and let you do what you want to do. Every head bowed, that's the message.